Praise God. Nice to see you again. I'd like to read a text to you this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 3. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Of course, you all know what's written in John's Gospel, chapter 3, don't you? The text is verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3, verse 6. These words, of course, spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ to the man called Nicodemus, who we read in verse 1 was a ruler of the Jews and a man of the Pharisees. And so this morning, I want to talk to you. Well, let me just say that. Do you mind? Can we just not use the screen, please, so that you don't mind, dear? Because I can see everybody looking at the screen, and I want to communicate with you. Okay, so. So I know I'm not the best person to look at, but just grit your teeth and do it, okay? And so we've got a big ministry team back home, and there are any one of seven of us who are available to preach. And so what we said many years ago was, look, every week let's all pray individually and ask the Lord, do you have a word for me to preach on Sunday morning? Or if not, do you have a word for me to preach on Sunday evening? And we have operated this for years. And what I'm going to tell you now, you're going to find incredulous, but it's the truth. We each one seek God for a word. And I've got to the place now where I can go to him and say, Lord, do you have a word for me to preach on Sunday? And sometimes I instantly know that the answer is no. It's like heaven is silent. And God's not going to talk to me about a word for Sunday. But meanwhile, he's speaking to one of the others and he's giving them a word. And for several years, we have never had an occasion when there are seven of us, we've never had an occasion where two people have said they've got a word for the same service. Because God gives us the word. And this, who I am, who Jim is, we are people who are called to listen for God, what God's message is for this people today. And we are merely the messengers. And so, please, this morning, do not shoot the messenger if you do not like the message, okay? Because the message comes from him. And so we ask God, Lord, what do you want me to preach about? What is your message to the people on this particular day? So we don't follow a prescribed pattern. This is something where we want to be available to pass on the message. And so yesterday morning, I was awake very, very early, and I said, Lord, what's the word that you want me to bring to the people at Crawley on Sunday morning? And the word tradition filled my mind. And then this scripture. And as I sat there contemplating that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, I realized, and this is the first thing that I want to say to you this morning, we must not confuse the new birth, because you are aware this chapter is talking about the new birth. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, you must be born again, right? And we must not confuse the new birth with religion or with tradition. Right? We must not confuse it. This man Nicodemus was both. He was both religious and traditional. But he was not born again. And it is possible for us to be here in this place this morning and to be both Pentecostally religious and traditional, with all the Pentecostal traditions that some of us have been brought up with since we were babes in arms, and I'm included in one of those, and it's possible for us to have the tradition without being born again. And I said to you last night, by the time I leave tomorrow afternoon, I just want to leave this one thing ringing in your hearts. It's all about relationship. It's all about your individual relationship with God. This is not about how many times you come to church, or how well you know your Bible, or how many hours you spend praying. This is all to do with relationship. It's got to do with the fact this morning that I can stand here and say, I am absolutely, totally, hook, line, and sinker in love with God. And I know he loves me. We all know he loves us. He's proved it. But we need to be in a place where the channels are open and we are in touch with God. And so I sat there in my chair in my conservatory thinking about Nicodemus being a religious man. And I felt that the Lord gave me a word which I wrote down. And I would like to read to you now. Now, I don't know whether this is for just one individual, whether maybe it's for more than one individual, whether it's for you as a church or what. Like I said, I'm just the messenger, right? I don't know you. I didn't know you before I came. And so I was completely open to just write down what God gave me. But would you like to listen to what I feel that God gave me yesterday morning? For too long, the church has allowed truth to be hindered by tradition. When truth encounters tradition, a shadow is cast instead of the blazing light of truth. When truth is hindered by tradition, the word is made of no effect, and truth falls in the street. The shadow cast by the rules of men is long, and drives away from God those who are lost and hopeless, because they see the tradition instead of the liberating truth. Those who promote external observances of religion are those who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They scorn those who eat with unwashed hands, whilst harbouring within that which is death to the soul. They are like whited tombs, all clean on the outside, but inside full of dead men's bones. They insist on the observations of religious laws, whilst within the heart they engage in all manner of suspicion and resentment. They are quick to believe a lie and prone to repeat hearsay and gossip. They insist on external legalities whilst committing the sins of the heart. The Lord Jesus declared that it was not that which enters a man's belly that defiles him, but that which proceeds from the heart. And then I just looked into that a little bit, because of that bit about that which comes from the heart. And the scripture says that that which comes issuing from the heart is evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. And so it's not what we appear to be on the outside. And I am 68 years old, and I have been taken to a Pentecostal church since I was a child, since I was a baby. And so I have spent my entire life in this. And I want to say that from personal experience, There are so many people sitting in churches today who've got it all nicely painted on the outside. But God does not look at what we appear to be. God looks upon the heart. He sees what we are on the inside. He listens to us when we're in our homes. You know, we can all come to church and do our religious thing, but, and it's not always religious, of course, I do that. Hallelujah. But we can all do that. But if things are not right in our heart, the relationship that we need to have with God will not be there. It just becomes a pretense. We learn all the religious words. We learn the vocabulary. We learn how to say hallelujah, bless the Lord, and all that stuff. But unless we are right in our hearts, the worship is flowing from tradition instead of from the fountain of the human soul, which is in love with Jesus. And we need to be in love with Jesus. Now, when I was growing up, I used to read some of the stuff that Paul has written in his epistles. And it puzzled me because I had a very sheltered upbringing. And I just took at face value everybody in the church, everything that everybody said. And I used to read this stuff about sin in Paul's letters. And he was writing to the church, talking about fornication, that's sex before marriage, by the way. Very popular today around the world, but should never be inside the Church of Jesus Christ. And I used to read all this stuff spoken to, and I used to think, well, the church isn't like that. Why is Paul writing this stuff to the church? There's not sin like this in the church. But of course, as I grew, I began to realize that there was and that there is stuff like this in the church. And that's why God can't use us if we're not right. If we're not a free, beautiful, pure channel of God's love, then he cannot use us. I read a statistic yesterday morning. Listen to this. A recent poll shows that 51% of all ministers admit to having at least occasionally looked at pornography on the net. And some 37% of ministers admit to having a problem with pornography. What? So is there anybody here this morning who looks at pornography? He said, don't you dare come to Crawley and suggest to our beautiful church something like that. Friends, you will be amazed. You would be amazed at what goes on in people's lives. Our church was once subjected to the most horrendous attack by the press, which has followed us wherever we've gone, and the most horrendous pack of lies that I have ever looked at in my life. You know how it started? It started because the guy who did our sound at the back of the church, you know, they have one of those. Got a much more fancy one now, but then it was just a little one, and he used to do all that stuff at the back of the church, and for about a month I'd felt troubled about him. I felt there was something not right about him. And so this particular Sunday morning, he was standing at the back after the service, and I went up to him and I said, Martin, are you okay? And he said, yes, thank you. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, why? And I said, because I felt troubled about you for a few weeks. And I just wanted to come and make sure you were okay. But while I'm saying it to him, my mind was full of the internet. And so he said, no, I'm fine. And I said, no problems with the internet. And while I was saying no problems with the internet, pornography, the word pornography was in my mind. And so he's saying, well, sometimes. So now he was at least beginning to admit the truth. And so I said, you haven't got a problem with pornography on the internet, have you, Martin? And he said, yes. But while I was saying that, my mind was full of the word homosexual. And so I said to him, Martin, you are not downloading homosexual pornography from the internet, are you? And he said, yes. And I said, how dare you? How dare you do anything in this holy place? How dare you come and take communion in God's house, remembering the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then go home and download homosexual pornography on the internet? How dare you? And he swung on his heel and he walked out of the church and he went and got some people together and they contrived a homosexual conspiracy and they tried and they contrived a whole load of lies and intrigue and stuff and then they went to the press with it. But it was because there was sin in the church. And this man, Nicodemus, he might have dressed in his nice Pharisaical robes, and he might have been able to quote you every law of Moses, and he might have been all pretty on the outside, but he belonged to the sect that Jesus said, you are like whited sepulchres, you are a generation of snakes, he said to them. Jesus actually reserved his strongest condemnations for these religious hypocrites. And such was this man, Nicodemus. But at least he knew there was something more. And he was intrigued by the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, of course, was also a Pharisee. Highly religious, highly traditional. And he actually believed that he was doing God's will. But he was hindering the truth. And so the first thing that I want to say here this morning is, please, we must not confuse our religious tradition with this amazing thing that we call the new birth. Don't get them mixed up. The new birth has got nothing whatsoever to do with tradition, religion, or anything else. It has to do with relationship. It has to do with being born again, where we become sons and daughters of God Almighty, not by adoption, but by birth. We come into his kingdom by the birth of that is created by the Holy Ghost inside our hearts. Which brings me to the next thing that I want to say. The new birth is an act of the Holy Ghost. So here is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's explaining the new birth, and he says, that which is born of the Spirit, that is spirit with a capital S, that is the Holy Ghost. That which is born of the Holy Ghost is spirit with a small s. It's spiritual. It's something that God creates inside a human being. And it all has to do with relationship. We're living in an age now where churches all over the world, and particularly in the United States, where if you go to a born-again church, then you're a born-again Christian. Rubbish! You don't be a born-again Christian by going to a particular church or saying, I agree with this. That's as crazy as saying that a newborn baby is a newborn baby because somebody said, I've got a baby. You know, it's either happened or it hasn't happened. And the new birth is a miracle. And it's either happened or it hasn't happened. There's no middle road. There's no in between. And you can't convince yourself that you're born again if you're not born again. It's a miracle. It's like that Jesus says here, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And at some point or another, we were all Believe it or not, we were all once little babies in our mother's arms, snuggling up to our mother's breast, because we were born flesh of flesh. Our parents of flesh produced a child of flesh. And that wonderful day when they held the baby for the first time and you were born into the human kingdom. The only way into God's kingdom is to be born into God's kingdom. Just like the only way into the human kingdom is to be born into the human kingdom. You can't get into this kingdom by coming to church. You only get into this kingdom when the Holy Ghost creates this miracle inside you. That which is born of the Holy Ghost is spirit. You remember way back in the beginning when God made Adam? Why did he make him? He made him in order that he might have communion with him. That God and man might fellowship together. I've actually written, if you excuse me, excuse the digression, and excuse me doing this, but I believe God gave me some stuff a while ago about Adam and Eve. And I just started to write, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wrote, and I wept, and I wept, and I wept. I cried the whole time I was writing it. There are a few copies on the back there. It's called The Life and Death of Adam. And they're £5 each. If you would like one afterwards, you're welcome to have one. But in there you will find the most awesome, intimate relationship that God had with this man, Adam. And that's why he made him. And you know what it says there? It says when God came looking for him that dreadful day after Adam had taken the fruit. It says he came to walk with him in the cool of the day. And I've listened to preachers talk about that verse. When was the cool of the day? Well, it's got to be in the morning before the sun rises. It's got to be in the evening when the sun has set. You know what? I looked into it and I found out. You know in verse 1 of Genesis 1 when it says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Big capital S. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. You know when it says, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. That's the same word. Cool is the same word as spirit in the original Hebrew, as you find in verse 1 of chapter 1. So let's switch it. God walked with Adam in the spirit of the day. Right? In the breath of God. God walked with Adam in that spiritual realm. It wasn't the natural realm. It was the spiritual realm. And so in actual fact, it was both morning and evening and everything in between. It was when God got into the immediate presence of his creator. And they walked together and they fellowshiped together. And this, brothers and sisters, is wonderful. And I'm sorry, but there are millions of people sitting in churches all over the world today. And they don't have this. They do not have this amazing, mind-blowing, awesome, exhilarating, thrilling, wonderful, indescribable relationship with God. I remember when I fell in love with my wife at an Assemblies of God conference, can you believe? I met her and I couldn't get her out of my mind. You know, she went back to Swansea where she came from, and I went back to Yorkshire where I came from. And at the end of that conference, and I was pining for her. I wanted to go see her. And it was like, I couldn't wait. And you know, that's how I feel all the time now about God. Honestly, I'm not making it up. I'm not exaggerating. I feel like all the time, I'm just so much in love. It's just, I feel like a teenager. I feel like, I know I'm looking pretty rough on the outside, but inside I'm dancing, I can tell you. I've got such, because that's what this is. It's about relationship. And so when God made Adam, he didn't just make him a machine. The Bible says that he breathed into him the breath of life. This is the same breath that breathed upon the waters. And he breathed it into Adam. And then it was that spiritual thing that he walked with. He walked with God in the spirit of the day, in that supernatural realm, in a new sphere, in a new area. And then he went and blew it. He lost it because sin separates us from God. And there was that dreadful, dreadful moment where Adam and Eve are ushered out of the garden and the cherubim with the flaming swords bar their return. God, that must have been the most horrendous if only that any man has ever known on the face of the earth. If only I hadn't taken the fruit. Let me come back in. Please let me come back in. If only I hadn't taken the fruit, but he had, and it was lost, and the communion was broken. And then 2,000 years, 4,000 years later, the Holy Ghost came again. Breathed on the womb of a virgin girl, teenage girl, in a little village called Nazareth, a despised village. And the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And once again, God breathed into a human being. He breathed the very seed of God himself. God in that tiny seed planted in the womb of the woman, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the incredible, awesome incarnation of God Almighty as a man, Emmanuel, God with us. But it was the work of the Holy Ghost, right? And now Jesus is talking to this man Nicodemus. What does he need? What does this religious man, with all his outward obedience to law, what does he need? He needs the breath of God breathing into him, just like Adam in the beginning. Just like Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Just like the Holy Ghost breathed upon the womb of Mary. This is what Nicodemus needs. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples when he commissioned them. He said, stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They had to wait for the Holy Ghost. And just as Adam, when he lost the presence in the garden, was naked, and God came looking for him, and he said, where are you, Adam? And he said, I hid myself because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? Have you taken the fruit that I told you not to eat? Sin made him naked. And now here is God saying to the disciples, you will be endued, literally means clothed. You will be clothed again with the spirit that Adam lost. You will once more know this amazing relationship with God. And that's what John had in the book of Revelation. Remember where it says he was in the spirit on the Lord's day? He was in the cool of the day. Bless him. John, the one who leaned on Jesus' breast and listened to the heartbeat of the Christ. He's on the Isle of Patmos, an old man now. He was a very old man, about 90 years old. And he's on the Isle of Patmos. And God, he's walking with God in the cool of the day like Adam did in the beginning. And look at the revelation God gave him. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he heard a voice behind him. Oh boy, what a beginning of something amazing that was. And God wants us to have this relationship. He wants to be able to talk to us. Do not settle for what you have. Yet it's a beautiful fellowship that you've got here, friends. But it's not touch and crawl, is it? Remember, don't shoot the messenger. It isn't though, is it? I mean, we're not touching Mansfield. We're pathetic. We are. We've got a church of 300 people, and in Mansfield there's about 80,000. It's nothing. And we're not doing it. And God wants us to wake up. What? To do what? To have more events, more try harder, do this, do that. No, friends. to get in touch with him. Because if we get burning fire in our souls, in our relationship with God, everything else will happen. Everything else will work out. It all comes back, like we opened up last night. It all comes back to your relationship with God. My relationship with God is all to do with relationship. And so that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And we've either got this or we haven't got this. And I thank God that I know that I am born again. How do I know? Now I want to come to the third and final thing. The new birth is evidenced by a new spirit. The evidence of the new birth is a new spirit. And that's why Jesus said, or that's why the apostle said, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay? And so basically what he's saying is, if any man is not born again, he is none of his. If you that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And the evidence of this miracle having taken place is a new spirit, a new disposition. This is why people say, what's happened to you? You've changed. You don't get angry anymore. You're not resentful anymore. You've changed. What's happened to you? They got born again. Because this is the evidence. Many years ago, I was sitting one day in my house and the telephone rang. And it was a young man on the other end of the phone. His name was Andrew. And he said, I am about to leave Mattersea Bible College to go into the ministry. He said, I've been in the Bible College for X number of years or whatever. And he said, next week I am taking my first pastorate. He said, but I feel that I need to come and talk to you. I didn't know him. He'd heard about our work and what we were doing. And he said, I'd like to come and see you. And I says, well, okay. Then he said, when can I come? So we arranged the time for him to come. And meanwhile, we prayed. And we said, Lord, how can we help this young man? What is it that he needs? And the Lord said to us, he's not born again. This guy's about, next week, he's taking over the pastor, being a pastor of a church. And the Lord's saying to us, he's not born again. And that was a bit scary. So I wait, we wait for this young man to arrive, and he comes in, typical Bible student, very polished and together, and he's just now graduating from his studies. And he sat down, and I said, well, how can we help you, Andrew? And he said, he says, I just feel as though I've got something missing. He said, I feel as though I need more. I'm taking over this church next week. And I just wondered if you had anything that you can help me with. And so I said, well, before you came, we asked the Lord what was wrong. And he told us that you weren't born again. Well, that did it. Poof. He said, what? Of course I'm born again. Of course I am. And I said, but what's the evidence, Andrew? I don't know you. So what's the evidence that you're born again? He said, my parents took me to church when I was a child. He said, I know the Bible. I've studied the scriptures. He said, I put my hand up in a gospel service. He says, and I've been to Bible college. He said, I preach God's word. I speak with tongues. He said, and I stopped him and I said, just a minute. Can you please show me in the Bible where any of that is an evidence of being born again? And he said, but surely it is, isn't it? And I said, where does it say that in the Bible? Where does it say that because you go to church, you're born again? Or because you read your Bible, you're born again? Or because you've been to Bible Bible college, you're born again. Or because you speak with tongues, you're born again. Where does it say that in the Bible? Because remember, friends, there is a genuine manifestation of the Holy Ghost, because I can see some of you with a question mark when I mention the speaking in tongues thing. But remember, there is a genuine manifestation of the Holy Ghost in speaking in languages that we've never learned. But it can also be made up. Of course it can. It's silly to say. Can't. And go ahead, can anybody in the street out there, and they can do it. Of course they can. And also, I've heard demons speak in tongues. Chillingly. And so, just because somebody speaks in tongues, got nothing to do, it's not conclusive evidence about being born again. And so I question him about all these things. He said, I don't understand. He got a bit frustrated. He said, I don't understand. And so I said, well, the only scripture that I know that tells you about the evidence of being born again is in Galatians chapter 5. And I said, I'd like to read it to you. And so I said, the fruit of the Spirit, right? That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. This is the new Spirit that God plants in the human soul or the human spirit when somebody is born again. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So I said, let's stop at each one, Andrew. I said, do you have love? I said, do you love God? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? And do you love the lost souls of this world? Have you got love? And he said, well, to be honest with you, that was one of the things that was troubling me. He said, because there's a man in my home church, he said, and I feel like I hate him. And so I said, so we'd better just leave that one for a minute then. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Joy. Have you got joy? And he said, well, to be honest with you, that was another of the things that I wanted to talk to you about. He said, because I do feel as though I lack joy, yeah. And I said, peace? He said, I'm never at peace. I said, long-suffering? You can put up with things? Patiently trusting God? He said, no. I said, gentleness, goodness, faith. And then he stopped and he said, I'm not born again, am I? And I said, no, Andrew, you're not. And that morning, we knelt together in my lounge. And Andrew committed it all to God, asked God to cleanse him from his sin, committed his future to serving Jesus. And the Holy Spirit came, and there in my lounge he was born again. And the next week he went off to become the pastor of the church. That church never knew how close they came to having an unregenerate pastor. Probably one of those who watches pornography. Brothers and sisters, we have to apply the same test to our lives. If I'd have got to the end of the list, we'd have come to temperance. You know what temperance is? It's self-control in our modern language. Self-control. I am absolutely amazed as I travel in different parts of the world to find out how many Christians lose their tempers. I can't believe it. I gave my life to Jesus as a little boy of 7 years old. When I was 11, because I was desperate for God, and I mean desperate, as an 11-year-old boy, I was desperate for God. It almost felt to me that it was a matter of life and death. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I wanted everything that God had for me. And in a little back room in a place called Batley in West Yorkshire, one Sunday evening, first Sunday in March, just after my 11th birthday, I knelt on my own in a little room by a little wooden chair, and God Almighty came to me. And I knelt there speaking in languages that I had never learned for about an hour and a half, bathed in the presence of God, and it was the most wonderful thing, and he's never left me. But what I wanted to say to you was, because I was seven when I gave my life to Jesus, I can never once remember in my entire life losing my temper. I have never lost my temper in my whole life because he planted his spirit inside me. And I'm sorry, but if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I don't care whether it's a pastor or an elder or a Sunday school teacher or whoever it might be. None of those positions are evidence of the new birth. And I remember David Powell. None of you will remember him, will you? Anybody here remember David Powell? No? David Powell was the senior minister of the church at Rotherham that I went to when I was 21 and I stayed there for 6 years. I remember him saying in an Assemblies of God conference to 500 ministers, "There are some of you here, brothers," he said. That's how he spoke. "There are some of you here who are not born again." And he caused such a stir. He was practically thrown out of the movement. But the fact is, friends, it was true. It was true. And it all comes back to me and God and you and God. It all comes back not to how we are when we're with our Christian friends or how we are in church. It all comes back to who you are on the inside. What makes you tick? What is the centre of your life? Why do you wake up in the morning? What is this air you breathe? Is it God? Have you got that close, wonderful relationship with him? Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do? Nobody can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him, so tell me." Jesus said to him, "I say to you truly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You've got to be born again. And I can come here and say it's all about relationship with him, but you can't form a relationship with him if you're not born again in the first place. A baby can't form a relationship with its mother until it's born, right? Or until it's in the mother's womb, they say now. But it's got to be there first. And you've got to be born into God's kingdom. And then there's this beautiful, escalating relationship that you can have with him. And if you don't remember this weekend for any other thing, remember it for this. It's all about your relationship with God. Right? Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege of speaking to these lovely people here today. I thank you for your mercy on my life, because if you had not shown me mercy, I would have been lost many times. I would have strayed and gone, but you kept me. With all my heart, I thank you. I thank you for the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith and the meekness and the self-control that you have planted by a miracle in this unworthy man. And I pray for all my lovely friends here today, and I ask you that you will touch all of our hearts. I pray that you'll do something in our lives.
in Jesus' name. I had a man about 2 years ago came and sat in my lounge at home. He was a man who's been in the church for many, many, many years. And he came. I never believed he was born again. I just didn't have it. He came and sat in my lounge. And I said to him what I've said to you today. And I gave him the test, you know, the love, joy, peace test. And he said no to all of them. And I said to him, David, let's kneel together. You need to be born again. And he said, I can't do that. He said, people will be asking. People won't understand. How can he have not been born again? And I says, you mean you're going to walk away because of what people might think? And he said, yeah, can't do that. And I watched that man walk out of my house with tears in my eyes. He was prepared to sacrifice everything because of what people think. May I say to every single person in this room, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I learned that lesson quite a long time ago. It really doesn't matter what people think. It's what he thinks. That's what matters. That's what counts. So while everybody's bowed in prayer, please, I'm going to ask if there's anybody here this morning and you're not born again and you want God to touch you, you want the miracle, then you come and kneel down here at the front and I'll come and pray with you. We can pray together. And God will give to you in this room today what he gave to Andrew in my lounge all those years ago. Is there anybody? Just get up out of your seat and come and either sit or kneel if you can, or stand if you can't kneel. God bless you. All of you talk to him because, here, I'll have this chair. You okay? This is not something that I can do. This is something that God does, and so you need to talk to God. And it's simple. It's going right back to square one. It's saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. And he knows the sin that is in your life, that has been in your life, and that in a few of you here is still in your life. He sees it. He sees every time. Every time. And you need to tell him you're sorry. You need to ask him to forgive you and cleanse you. And let's all be praying, please. Everybody, let's just all pray together. Nobody praying, you know, alone, but every one of us together, just praying for these who are kneeling here, or if you need to pray for yourself, let's just all pray. And those of you who are at the front, just really pray so you can hear the sound of your own voice. We don't want to hear what you're saying, but just ask him. Confess your sin to him and say, God, come to me. I want reality. I don't want tradition, religion. I want reality. I want truth. The truth that sets men free. That's what the Bible says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's what it does. So just ask him. Talk to him. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless her, Lord. Hear the cry of the heart. Just commit everything to him, Lord. Everything. Your heart, your life. Ask for his cleansing, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Just lay it all down before him. Jesus. Lord Jesus, come to my sister, I pray. Something amazing be done in her heart and life today. For the glory of your name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch your Lord, I pray. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus. Please help him, Lord. Help him to turn his back on everything that displeases you. Walk in the fear of God. God, I pray that you will give him a new beginning this morning in this place. Jesus, create in him a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drive away from him, Lord, everything that has homed in like vultures upon the prey. Drive them away from his life, I pray. Set him free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless my sister, Lord. Oh, God, come to her this morning. May all things pass away and everything become new. May she be broken at your feet. Blessed Lord, give us all a revelation of Jesus Christ crucified. Give us a revelation, Lord, of what it cost you to pay the price for our sin, so that we hate sin because it hurt you. God, I pray, give everybody in this building a revelation of Christ crucified, that we might fall in love with you like never before, and that we might love the precious souls of men and women for whom you died. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, come, really call on him. Don't go back to your seat without the assurance that it's done. That God has touched you and it's done, right? Is there anybody else needs to come? He sees what goes on in our minds. He sees what goes on behind closed doors. He sees our secret private lives away from church and those in it. Because he is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. There is nowhere where you can go where he is not. Nowhere. He's absolutely everywhere. That's how he knows everything about everybody. He's everywhere. Really came home to me years ago when a missionary to Colombia, an American, out west, Western America, heard about our ministry, and he, via another pastor, got in touch with us and said, could we please help his wife? She was in a mess mentally, and she was refusing to go back. They'd come home on furlough, and she was refusing to go back to the mission field. And he felt called to Colombia, and he was all agitated because he wanted his wife to go, and she was refusing to go. And so they ring up from the other side of America, people we've never heard of, don't know anything about, and they said, can you help my wife? And our response to that amongst ourselves was, well, how can we help her? We don't even know her. We don't even know her name. Know nothing about her. And then the Lord began to speak to us. And he gave us a list of names, a full page of names, describing
like problems in a person's life. And so we got on the phone to this intermediary pastor and we said, look, it's up to you whether you pass this on or not, but this is what we felt God said. And when he contacted the missionary and read to him this list, by the time he got to the bottom, the man was sobbing. And he said, I cannot take this in. He said, because every single name on that list is a perfect description of my wife. And God, and you know, I'm sitting there in our little house in the Midlands, and I'm thinking, God knew all about that woman. That one woman out of the billions of people on this planet, God gave us a complete rundown on how she thinks, how she feels, her psychic, everything about her. And God is everywhere. He does not miss a thing. He knows everything about you. He knows where you go. He knows what you say. He knows what you do. He knows what you watch. He knows everything. Absolutely everything. And never forget it. Never forget it. He knows. My colleague woke me up one morning. Are you okay? You're not aching on your knees, are you? My colleague woke me up one morning and she said, John, is there a pastor in Assemblies of God called Pastor So-and-so? And I said, it was a very unusual name. And I said, yeah. He's the pastor of one of the biggest churches in the country. And she said, oh, okay. And I said, no, why? And she said, well, I woke up this morning with his name on my mind. She said, and the Lord gave me four names. And I said, what do you mean four names? Four names of what? She said, well, I think evil spirits that he needs deliverance from. And I said, a pastor, an Assemblies of God pastor in one of the biggest churches in the United Kingdom, and she's telling me that God's told her his name and that he's got four evil spirits that he needs deliverance from. And so she said, what shall I do? And I said, well, I can give you his number. And she says, oh no. She said, you got his number, then you call him. And which I suppose was fair enough. And I made the phone call. And he picked the phone up and I introduced myself. We had met in the past. And he said, long time since I heard from you, John, what can I do for you? And I said, well, I can remember my exact words. I said, well, it's really more of a case of what I can do for you. And so he said, well, what do you mean? And so I said to him, well, I think that you need some deliverance. And he said, deliverance from what? And I said, evil spirits. And he said, what? And I could feel, well, you can imagine, can't you? I could feel his horror and disbelief from the other end of the phone. And so, but he carried it on. He went with me. And so he said, what evil spirits? And so I said, well, I do have four names here. Would you like me to read them to you? And he said, yes, please. And I read him the four names. And when I got to the end, didn't take long to read four names, he was weeping. And he said with a choked voice, John, I don't understand this. I don't understand it theologically. I just can't grasp it. He says, but all I can tell you is those four names that you have just read out to me represent four problems that have haunted me and affected me the whole of my life since I was a child. And he said, what shall I do? And I said, well, if you like, we will come and pray for you. And he said, oh, no, you won't. He said, I will come to you. He said, when can I come? I said, you can come tomorrow if you want. And he had to travel, getting on for 200 miles to come to us. He arrived at my house at 8 o'clock the following morning. And he went home, a man set free. A man set free from problems that he'd had since he was a child. No fault of his own. And that's a whole big subject, I know, but all I'm trying to get across to you is that God knows every person. He knows every person. Everywhere on this planet, 7 billion people, is it now, on the earth, God intimately knows every single one of them, and he knows you. And you need to have your own personal relationship with God. And when you've got that, everything will break free. And what has happened in our encounters, those of you who were here last night, people meet God. God reveals himself to them. He changes their lives. And then they go back and they're on fire for God. And our church in Mansfield has doubled in size in 6 months because the people got their relationship with God. I have never seen a people ever in my life glowing with such passion, such life, such fire, such enthusiasm, such love for God and love for people as we now have in the church. But God has done it, and God wants to do it for you, every single one of you. And you can see this church double. And I feel like saying to you, if you will do this, God will double this church. He can double this church in 3 months. If you will believe, if you will grasp hold and get your relationship, fall in love with God and be open to what he wants to say. Throw the traditions away. Just let truth, you said it at the beginning, let truth do the work, friends. Let truth, but it's not in just how much doctrine you know up here. That does not work, trust me. I've had a lifetime of it. It does not work. It's when the doctrine changes who you are. It's when the doctrine becomes part and parcel of your life and your actions. So it's not how much you know. Somebody wrote a little card to me the other day and they said, in this realm, it certainly isn't what you know. It's who you know. And that's a fact. It's who you know. You've got to know him. Okay. God bless you. Walk in it. Live it. Move in it. Don't let this go. I believe God has done something in your lives here this morning, and now build on it, okay? God bless you. I love you all. And I love you all. Thank you. Oh, before I go, can I just, there are some of these leaflets at the back. This is our Encounter with God leaflet. We have another one coming up in March 28th to 30th. Not all that far from here, just 20 minutes the other side of Heathrow, in just south of High Wycombe. And we'll be there, and God is going to meet with us again, and lives are going to be changed. So if you would like to take a leaflet, it does have an enrollment form on the back if you wanted. And also, I've just got 3 copies of my book, My Road to Barcelona, which is my autobiography up to 2012. And boy, do I have another half book ready since 2012. Thank you.